But at your word, I will let down the nets. That's Luke 5:5, our text for this morning's meditation. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the great catch of fish, the catch so large that the nets of the disciples were breaking, that great catch of fish was an object lesson. It was a teaching moment, a visual demonstration of what happens when we listen to the words of Jesus and believe them. For the disciples on their own, using their own experience, using their own intelligence, their own expertise as fishermen who made their living as fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, those disciples, they had fished all night and had caught nothing. And that's happened to all of us, hasn't it? One time or another, here in Minnesota, whether it's in the morning or afternoon or evening or entire night of fishing, we've all had times when we were fishing when we've caught absolutely nothing. We've had not so much as a nibble, when we have not even seen any signs of fish. But when that's happened to us, we have just chalked it up to our lack of experience, our status as fishing hobbyists, as those who enjoy catching a fish or two, but truth be told, don't really know what we're doing beyond putting some sort of bait or lure on a line and tossing it out into the water. The disciples of Jesus, they knew what they were doing, and yet they caught nothing. But then Peter, in his desperation, or perhaps expression of a bit of Galilean nice, listens to Jesus and does what Jesus says, and what happens? Peter catches more fish in one toss of the net than he probably ever caught before. Now that happened, that great catch of fish, because Peter listened to Jesus. That happened because Peter listened to Jesus. That happened because Peter listened to Jesus. So why don't we listen to Jesus? Receiving his word in good and honest hearts that not only believe everything that Jesus has said to us, but then also we act on those words. Why don't we? You know, I used to think it was because we were frightened simply to listen to Jesus instead of our own thoughts, the advice of friends, or the opinion of experts. But now I think it has more to do with our hardness of heart. For we so often are like Pilate, aren't we? We're like Pilate when told by Jesus that everyone who is of the truth listens to his voice, responded simply with, "What is truth?" Now, was Pilate being sincere there, like the woman at the well or Nicodemus at night, wanting to know from Jesus what in fact truth was? Or was Pilate being skeptical or even cynical, as in, who knows what truth actually is? Now, we tend to take the words of Pilate in that way, don't we? And so our model of our response to the words of Jesus to us today in the Holy Word of God, the Bible. For what would we have said to Jesus if, having fished all night, we caught nothing and then he asked us to try again? Probably something like, "Well, Jesus, the nets are right there. Boat's yours. Kind of a trick to throwing out the nets into the water, but you'll get the hang of it. Do what you want. Give it a shot. I'm going to get some breakfast and then go get some sleep. I'm exhausted. Or in other words, "Yeah, Jesus, I know I should go to church every week. I know I should pray in the morning and the evening before meals, pray without ceasing. I know I should stop doing some things, like gambling some of my paycheck away every 2 weeks, or watching shows on television or videos on YouTube I shouldn't. I know I should take care of those around me and myself better, but you know, Jesus, I'm tired. And I've kind of got this life thing figured out. I've got a car, I've got a house, I've got a family, work's going okay, I even know what I'm doing there. Figured things out." So why? Why, Jesus, should I listen to you? Why should I do something different? Why should I live my life in a different way? Why should I look at life in a different way than what I am right now? Sure, life's kind of hard, but isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Oh, look at what happened when Peter listened to Jesus. Look at what happened when Peter listened to Jesus. Something happened in his life, the life of Peter, that probably had never, ever happened before. You see, the thing is, you don't know, and we don't know, what's going to happen when we listen to the words of Jesus, when we listen to the holy word of God. But what we do know is that when we do, things are going to happen, good things, marvelous things. What? If we listen to Jesus, we will suddenly become rich, overwhelmed with assets like Peter and the other fishermen there that day? No. But if we listen to Jesus, we will become spiritually rich. And if we're spiritually rich, the wealth of this world loses its meaning. And all that is needed for our daily life is provided by Jesus. For you notice what the disciples do not do when they catch all those fish. What they did not do is say to Jesus, think about this, hey, Jesus, come back tomorrow and do the same thing again so we can make such a great haul of fish every day. Our life is going to be wonderful now. Our life is going to be fantastic. Our life is going to be fabulous now that Jesus is guaranteeing such a great catch of fish every single day. No, it's not what the disciples did. Instead, they simply left their boats, and they left their nets, and they even left the fish, and they followed Jesus. And our Savior would that we do the same thing. In our hearts, in our minds, and souls, leaving this world behind and following Him. No, not abandon our work, our family, our life, but find our ultimate peace and joy and comfort not in the ebb and flow of such things. And whether or not we catch a few fish on a fishing trip, and whether or not we get that promotion, and whether or not our children are successful, but we find our peace, our joy, our comfort in the one through whom all such things came to be. For if Jesus can do such a thing for a few fishermen on a lake over in the Holy Land, can we not trust Him to provide for us? Well, of course. But He wants to do so much more. He wants us to live daily in joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, is how the Apostle Paul put it to the Philippian Christians. Why? As the hymn puts it, by Christ is given, by Christ is given the gifts of heaven. He, the true Redeemer, is. The Redeemer. The Redeemer from what? The Redeemer from the world. The Redeemer from the oppression of the world, of the struggles of the world, and trials of the world, and troubles of the world. For by His suffering and death on the cross, Christ redeemed us from death that hounds us, and from sin that troubles us. And in rising from the dead, demonstrated that even though daily we still are surrounded by sin and surrounded by death, we need not think about them and be oppressed by them, struggling against them, thinking that our experience and our knowledge and our expertise and our intelligence is the only way. The only way we can weave our way through this life with some sort of modicum of success. Instead, living in this life, we can find our joy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our gladness in Him, and our peace in Him. Who, if He can cause such a great catch of fish to occur, can certainly help us get our brakes fixed on our car, or pass a test at school, or talk to a troublesome neighbor, or any number of challenges meet that we face each day. So then, how does this joy, this gladness, this peace come to us? It comes to us through the still, the small voice of the Holy Word of God, which when we hear it, we should not simply scoff at or respond to in skepticism and doubt as Pilate did, but embrace. hold fast to and believe. And having done so, having embraced the Word of God and holding fast to the Word of God and embracing the Word of God, we act upon it. We act upon it. I mean, how frustrating is it when we ourselves are asked for help? When we ourselves are approached for help with a problem, when we ourselves are brought into a trouble to find a solution, and we do in fact have the solution. We have the answer. We know exactly what to do, and sharing that the boat should go out one more time and the nets go down, how disappointing is it for us when we hear, well, thanks, but no, I think I'll do something else. We've all had that experience. We've all had it. Now, our Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, but he literally broke down in tears, crying over Jerusalem simply because its inhabitants, the people of God, the children of Israel, would simply not listen. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, we read in Matthew 23, the words of Jesus, oh, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. So the question for us this morning is whether we are willing. Are we willing to listen to the words of Jesus, then act upon them, abandoning our life of trust in ourselves and embracing a life, a wondrous life, a joyous life of faith in Jesus our Savior? Any doubt at this moment is not because the word has not been presented clearly to us. We have heard all about the fish, the great catch of fish. So any hesitation at this point is all on us, isn't it? Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.